Let's turn back then to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're on the theme of thanksgiving. Let's then read from verse 16. We'll read from verse 16 to 18. Be joyful always, Paul says. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So on the theme of thanksgiving, I, for some reason, just immediately thought of this verse when I was going to prepare. It's a little verse, verse 18 here, a little verse with a big heart. And we're going to try and listen to the heartbeat of 1 Thessalonians 5:18. We're just going to look at the different parts of the verse and see what they mean for us. And the verse begins with the words, give thanks. And I hope that already in the service you're tuned into the theme of thanksgiving. Indeed that you've come prepared and indeed that you're always prepared to give thanks. That you're always in a thankful mood. But this is a command, give thanks. And the first thing that we probably ask is, well, who are we meant to give thanks to? Now, Paul isn't just thinking here about manners. He's not just thinking about, you know, remember to say please and thank you. It's not like we say to our children, now children, what's the magic word? And then they say the magic word, and then when they've got what they've asked for, they say please. Now what do you say, children? Thank you. And of course it's very important for us to teach our children manners, but we're not on that level today. We're not talking just about manners. Because of course manners can be very insincere. And what Paul certainly is talking about is sincerely giving thanks. And it is, I think it's actually just changed even the atmosphere in our service today that we took a bit of time at the beginning to give thanks. Thanks is something that is perhaps lacking often in our world. We find it so easy, don't we, to complain and to find fault. And we have constantly got the example on our televisions, particularly of our politicians. We find it almost endemically abhorrent to say thanks to other politicians, especially of other parties, even if they obviously have got something right. They always have to find some point scoring to make out of it. And, you know, we do have to be different to that in our relationships, in our marriages, and in our families, and in our church, and in the places that we work. We can so easily find fault, and sometimes these things can build up and become really serious issues. But no, we have to try and find ways to give thanks to people. And all around us there are people who are starved of thanks. Maybe you're one of them too. And what you just need is someone to say, you know, thank you. Thank you for that task that you've been doing for years that you think no one notices. Thank you for this thing that is routine, but I don't take it for granted. I appreciate the fact that you do it every day. You know, just to take that kind of time to thank people who may be just withering up inside because no one seems to appreciate them. But with our words of thanks, sincere words of thanks, we can make such a difference to people. So even on the human level, practicing verse 18 is very, very important. And there's no doubt an element of that in the meaning of the verse. To give thanks to the people around us in whatever circumstances we find ourselves in. There's always something to thank people for. Give thanks in all circumstances. But you're right, I'm sure, if you're thinking, well, Paul is mostly thinking about giving thanks to God. And that's really, I think, the main thrust of what he's got in mind, because I think is the joy of verse 16 and the prayer in verse 17 certainly are things that are in relation to God, giving thanks to. And it's much easier to give thanks if you have a real sense of just, I suppose, how undeserving you are of the things that you have. In our society, we tend to feel very deserving because we're always comparing ourselves with other people. We're saying, I wish that I had the car that he's driving, or I wish that I had her husband, or whatever it is. You know, we're always looking around to compare. And so we complain. Remember Jacob in the Old Testament. On one occasion he says to God, he says, Lord, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and the truth that you have showed to your servant. That is where you get an attitude of real thanksgiving from. You can look that one up if you want in Genesis 32 and verse 10. I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies, Lord. If we have that sense, then thanksgiving will very readily spring out of our lives, because we'll see that we're actually showered with blessings and good things, of which we are truly not worthy. And we'll be able to give thanks to God, not in a perfunctory manner or in a routine manner, just like maybe saying a grace at a meal. We'll say that grace with heartiness. And not just like saying our prayers at night, but we'll really just pour our hearts out to God. And it'll be something that we'll do, as the verse here says, continually. It won't be just for formal situations. If we have a real sense that God is showering us all the time with his blessings. Now, I've noticed over the years in prayer meeting situations particularly that even Christians find it really hard to thank God in a sort of focused and consistent way. And at times in the past, in joint prayer meetings and prayer gatherings, we've said, right, we're going to spend the next few minutes just thanking God for things. And people will be praying, and what will they do? They won't thank God. They maybe thank God for one thing, and then they'll start asking God for everything. And that's what we tend to do. I mean, if we listen to our own prayers, I almost guarantee that they're all about asking God for things. But thanksgiving is actually something that should really be readily on our lips. We don't need to ask God for lots of things. If our attitude is we can thank him for so much, then, you know, we'll realize that he's given us an awful lot already, and we don't need to ask quite as urgently or as exclusively. Thank God. So it says give thanks, and it says in all circumstances. And what sort of circumstances might there be in your life today? Well, there might be times when everything is going really well. Other times when everything is going really badly. And then probably for most of us, there are times when some things are going well and some things are going badly. So let's think about those three circumstances. Let's think first of all about the circumstance when everything is going well. Now you would think, well, of course, that's the time when it's easiest to thank God, isn't it? When everything is going well, when our cup is overflowing, when we lack nothing, we're therefore thankful. Well, no. It might be if human nature was good and human nature function properly, but it doesn't. Look at our country today. Let's think of Great Britain for a minute. Great Britain is a country which has more today than ever before. There's no doubt about that. People are more comfortable, they have better healthcare, they have better financial circumstances, better opportunities, they go for better holidays, you know, the list just goes on and on. I mean, the availability of food in our supermarkets, it just is incredible what we have today. So that means, of course, that Britain is a country full of thanksgiving. Well, it's not, isn't it? Actually, many in our country are more miserable, more discontented, more complaining than ever before. Someone did a survey recently, and I don't know how they did it, but they measured how much the British complain about their goods and services compared with how much other European countries and the Americans complain about their goods and services. And it was found in the survey that Brits now outrank all European countries in complaining. And they outrank the Americans. We complain more than the Americans. We complain more than the French. We complain more than the Italians, and so on and so on. That's not a good thing to be in the forefront of, in the league tables of complaining. So Britain is not a country from which the sweet incense of thanksgiving rises continually to heaven. And if God complained, if God was given to complaining, he might complain that looking after the needs of 60 million Brits was a thankless task. Actually, then, it's really strange. When everything's going well, that tends to be when our thanksgiving dries up. And that is proved in our own country today. So, let's look at the second circumstances where everything is going badly. Or really, where things are really, really bad. Now, you might think there's a time when it's impossible to give thanks. Because you're in the midst of so many troubles that how can you be thankful? But actually, in such circumstances, and you know, I hope that none of us experience such circumstances, possibly many of us never will in the whole of our lives, but in such circumstances, people really lower their expectations. And they're no longer looking for a better car or a widescreen television or whatever. They're looking for just the next meal or somewhere safe to lay their head down at night. And in such circumstances, they're very thankful for little things. I was wondering, you know, recently I was out wandering in the hills above Scalpie Bay, just outside Kyle, and I came across a large area, really in a very remote spot up in the hills, where there was a big area of lazy beds, where, I mean, I don't know what the history is, but someone, presumably probably the people who lived in Scalpie Bay when it was a settlement, where they grew their potatoes, perhaps 150 and more years ago. And I thought of the hardship of that, of these people's lives. It must have been really, really grim when they'd been cleared from the good land and they ended up having to try and grow potatoes in this really unpromising, rocky, peaty soil that there is in that patch of ground. How difficult their lives have been, how hand to mouth, how subsistent their existence must have been in these circumstances. And yet these people would have gone to church and they'd have gone to their harvest thanksgiving service. Now, of course, we know that in the 1840s, potato blight caused severe famine in this part of the world as well as in Ireland and other parts. And people were in terrible plight in parts of Lahash and Skye because of that. Can you imagine the harvest thanksgiving service at that time? Can you imagine the people filling the church? It would have been perhaps at Kirkton or maybe over in Blockton, filling the church and a minister trying to conduct a harvest thanksgiving service. When people are in the middle of potato blight and famine and they're emaciated. And yet, isn't it in those very circumstances that it's the small acts of kindness, it's the little victories, it's just a good square meal from time to time that people give thanks and that people actually really appreciate what they do have, even if it seems very, very little by our standards? When I was going out to Hungary in the early 1990s a few times, I tried to learn a wee bit of Hungarian, and very little of it remains, but One word that I learned was deeply, deeply imprinted upon me from listening to the Hungarians pray in Hungarian. And I wouldn't understand any of their prayers except this one word, kisinen, kisinen. And they would use this word over and over again in the prayer. Now these were people who had just come out of the, when we talk about austerity, they just come out of the austerity of living behind the iron curtain. And the grim kind of circumstances that many of them had to live in as a result. And yet their prayer was full of this word, kisinen, kisinen. And what does it mean? It means thank you. Thank you, Lord. Kisinen. Kisinen sepen. Thank you beautifully is what it literally means. Isn't that lovely? Thank you beautifully. If you want to really thank someone in Hungarian, say kisinen sepen. Thank you beautifully. And they would say that to God for what they had. And it just seemed to come from them so naturally. And they had so, so much less than I had myself coming at that time from Clockton and all the plenty that we had. So, you know, sometimes it's when things are really hard that Thanksgiving is learned and discovered for small things. Maybe if we can try and have eyes like that to look around and see the multitude of small things in our lives that actually are wonderful, that are great, for which we can give thanks to God beautifully, because actually our lives are full of reasons for thanksgiving and not for complaining. So actually all circumstances, probably for most of us then, doesn't describe either of these extremes, but more likely it describes a situation where some things are good in our lives and some things are bad. And I think that's part of God's order for human life, because he knows that we are so prone to complaining and so prone to finding fault with our circumstances, that he does bring some hardship into every life in order to help us to just to recognise the good things for what they are and not to complain so much, and to be thankful for the good things and to humble us as well, so that we may be like Jacob, having a real sense, I'm not worthy of the least of God's mercies. And he's showering me here with blessings. Then it says in verse 18, not only to give thanks in all circumstances, this is God's will. This is God's will. It's something that God wants us to do. It's not really optional for the Christian. It's not like an extra layer of Christian discipleship that some people can have and some haven't. It's like, it's for us to do. It's something God wants us to do. It's something that he wants us to do, because we're really saying when we give thanks to God that every good and perfect gift does come from him. It's an act of trust. It's an act of faith. He's in control. He's in control of our lives and our circumstances. So if it does happen that some good thing comes our way, we look not just to the hand that brought it, but to the ultimate giver, who is God himself. It's God's will. And it's God's will because if we avoid complaining and instead give thanks, then it just avoids us becoming bitter of spirit. And it avoids us worrying as well. Remember what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, he says, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So when you're in trouble, instead of being anxious, pray to God, but make sure that your prayer is with thanksgiving. If we give thanks to God, we really make the effort in the situation where we would otherwise just complain or be bitter or miserable about how bad life is. If we give thanks to God, it changes the way we look at things, and it helps us to avoid worry and anxiety as well. And it's God's will for you, says verse 18, for you. God wants you to do this, not the person next to you. God wants you to do this today. It's God's will for you and for me. It's God's will for you. And today you may find it comes readily. There may be some people in church today who are just feeling just so blessed And the world is a wonderful place. Today, the grass is greener than it has ever been. The sky is bluer than it has ever been. God's in his heaven and all is right with the world. And you can't but give thanks. Well, that's wonderful. But it's also God's will for you today if you're struggling and if you're trudging and if life is difficult and uncertain and there are problems, there are bills to be paid and there are issues to be faced and there are disappointments to be overcome. And it's God's will for you to give thanks in that. And you say, but I can't do that. Yes, you can. And if you choose to, it will actually transform your circumstances. If we are focusing on harvest today, well, it's God's will for us to give thanks for the food that we have. Really, we are so blessed. I was in Paisley yesterday. After the funeral, I stopped to get petrol. I went into the Morrison supermarket there. Absolutely huge place. It was just massive. Massive building. And you could just see the aisles of food stretching into the distance. And I just thought, well, if maybe some of you, the older ones here, maybe remember, I suppose, village shops in places like Durnish and Drumbuie and so on. Maybe if there was 100 different goods in the shop, it was well stocked. There's maybe 100,000 different goods in that Morrison store. There's enough food there to feed an army. And it comes not just from local suppliers, it comes from all over the planet. And we can as readily have vanilla from Madagascar as we can have lamb from Drumbuie. You know, it's anything we want. I'm not at this moment going to dwell on the environmental impacts of that and what damage we're doing to the planet, but at the same time, we are absolutely blessed. People complain about the co-op here sometimes. I've heard people complain about the co-op here. They say, well, the co-op in Broadford's better and all the rest of it. Folks, stop and look at it differently. And say, oh well, but you know, there'd be so many tourists in the area that there's hardly anything on the shelves in the co-op. You hear people say that, there's hardly anything on the shelves today. What? Might be a few empty shelves where the bread was or whatever, but there's piles of food. God is blessing us abundantly with the harvest of the seas and of the land, and we give thanks to him for all those who fish and to grow and harvest, and for all those who transport our food and prepare our food and package our food and all the rest of it. It's just a vast, vast enterprise so that we can fill up our baskets in the co-op so readily and freely. What a privilege. And we can afford it as well. We're not living in hyperinflation in some poverty-stricken country where the bread, one loaf of bread costs a month's wages. It's not like that. How blessed we are. How blessed we are. And it's God's will for you to give thanks. And finally, in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I think that means that God wants you to do all your thanksgiving while trusting what Jesus has done for you. Because I know that there's a temptation for us to thank God in a way that almost then becomes like, if I keep thanking him, he'll keep giving me stuff. And it's a wee bit like some people do touch wood, you know. Oh, I've got good health just now. Touch wood, they'll see. But as though that sort of superstitious thing is going to actually keep your health good. And people do that with thanking God and praying and everything. They'll say, well, oh, I read my Bible every day, or I pray, or I give thanks. And they've got this sort of touchwood attitude to it, that as long as they keep doing it, God will keep giving them the things that they need. And just stop and think about that. It's just really, how can it be like that? Is God looking at us and thinking, I'm so impressed that he's saying thank you for his meal today that I'll give him another one tomorrow? You know, is it like that? No, it's not. See, we don't deserve what we get from God. That's the point. Jesus is given to us because we need salvation from God. It's not because God's so impressed with us, but because we need someone to pay for our sins. Whenever God gives us anything, it's an act of his grace, an act of his free, merciful kindness. And so we get what we get in Christ. You know, it's about God's mercy. So we're not actually sustaining his kindness by saying thanks or praying or touch wood or anything like that. His thanksgiving is an act of grace, and we should thank him all the more because that's the way it is, and do so in Christ. In other words, we don't trust our thanksgiving to keep God sweet. We trust Jesus Christ to keep God showing us his mercy and grace. What Jesus has done for us is the way by which God is brought to be at peace with us and to continue his provision. Remember, God gave us Jesus. He does want to give us things. But he gives it all to us in Christ. It's Christ we trust and what he has done for us. So let's just bow for a moment and let's say another prayer together.